Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 9. We're going to read verses 13 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 9, verses 13 through 20. Psalm 9, verses 13 through 20. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of thy daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made in the net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. And let's pray, Father, thank you for our church. Lord, what a great place you've given us here, not just in facilities, but a place where your children can come and meet. And like a spiritual hospital, you do your work on our hearts and on our lives. Lord, you use our preacher very strategically. Father, please use him again today. We stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. Because of that, we've got to have the truths of the Word of God to help us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I will use no humor at all in my sermon because the matter about which I will speak is no laughing matter. To those of you that are saved, you should be thankful as you hear the place called hell somewhat described today. Hell's not mentioned much by preachers anymore. Well, I need to serve notice to the religious community that hell is still there. It is a real place. This is what they would call old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. Sorry, but I cannot apologize for what I am. That is exactly what I am. I believe there's a place called hell. We cannot whitewash the reality of that place. Modern preachers don't preach it much anymore because they say it's offensive. Well, I'll tell you what I think is offensive. It's offensive for a preacher not to tell the truth about a place where someone will burn for all eternity in an effort of that preacher maybe getting a little tip from the congregation or getting some sort of a reverence from the congregation by bypassing the truth. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. It's offensive to God if you don't mention it. It's offensive to the right kind of a Christian. And so, this morning, I want to talk to you about the place called hell. The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Just so you know, it is wicked to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. It's wicked to reject Him. Hell is no game. Hollywood has no idea of what hell is really like, none whatsoever. The Bible says here a nation that forgets God is going to be turned into hell. Now, I want you to understand something. That does not mean that everybody in the nation will go to hell. What it means is that everybody that has rejected Christ from that nation will go to hell. You know, it's a little bit like a presidential election. A president might be elected, but that doesn't necessarily mean the entire nation was for it. God may be rejected by a nation and just enough of the nation to say that there was a big portion of them that rejected God. That doesn't mean everybody rejected God. Somebody else does not send you to hell. You say, well, I'm in a nation that's rejected God. You'll go to heaven or you'll go to hell based on what you do personally about Jesus Christ. So when it talks about a nation, though, it means the mass quantity of those people have forgotten God, they have rejected Christ as Savior, and so we would say that nation is a nation that will be turned into hell. When I was a young preacher, I started preaching at the age of 16. I actually cut my preaching teeth in the local or the county jail. I went there and I found out later that they had never told me this and I never asked. I was supposed to be 18 and I was only 16 when I started going in. Later on I found out you needed to be 18 to go in, but for some reason I had been going into the jail and preach. But I'll tell you, some of you have heard me tell this story before. First time I went in the jail, I was scared to death. I really was. All I'd ever seen about what would happen in jails, what I'd seen on the old westerns and on TV, and I figured I'd go in and they'd all have steel coffee cups and be raking them up and down the bars and I was just scared to death that they were going to take me captive. And when you're 16, all those adult men, they it was pretty scary. There were some pretty tough characters in the jail. Now, I always felt safe when they would take me in. There was a set of bars that we would go through and then a second set of bars. There was always a couple of jailers that helped to take me into the spot where I would do my preaching. There'd be a jailer that would let another jailer and I into the inner portion of the jail. And then that second jailer would let the first jailer out, and then they would leave me in there and I would go in and preach. But they were always around. Now, I was there on a particular Tuesday night. I do not know what happened. They had taken me through the first set of bars and then taken me through the second set of bars and left me there to do my preaching. And then the jailer that had escorted me in went back through that set of bars and then back through the first set of bars and went on the outside. And what I would do is when I was all done preaching, there was one bar that you could rattle and it would make a clanking sound. And when I'd rattle that, they would let me out. I don't know what happened that night, but I was in there preaching and all of a sudden, you could hear sirens everywhere, and you could hear wheels screeching, and I do not know what happened later on. I found out there had been a robbery. Now, in a little county where I grew up, we didn't have this massive police force, and everybody took off. I got done with my preaching. I went over and I rattled the bar, and nobody came. And then I went over and rattled the bar again, and nobody came. And I thought, somebody needs to get me out of here. If you preach the way I preach, you don't want to be locked up with anybody for very long. I went over and I rattled the bar and nobody came. And I am telling you, for two straight hours, I rattled the bar and nobody came. And I took back everything I had preached just 30 minutes prior, told them I was joking. But I was scared to death. Finally, somebody came and they got me out of there. But I'm telling you, I was in there with the robbers and the murderers and the drug addicts and the drunkards and the husband beaters and all the tough ones. But I was locked in there and I was scared. I was really, really scared. And they let me out. What had happened, it was a robbery and everybody had to go but the one that was attending shop there at the jail. They had to leave me in there. And they apologized, but I'll tell you, my heart was a beating while I was locked in there, that my palms were sweaty and I wasn't turning my back on the crowd. I was scared. But let me tell you something. That crowd that I had been locked in with in jail is nothing like the crowd that you'll be locked in with in hell. Nothing like it. The worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is a place called hell. I heard a story and I was told it was a true story. I have no reason to believe that it was not. There was a man that worked at a chemical company. At the chemical company, they had developed some sort of a granule that would evaporate moisture immediately. They would take one little granule of this chemical and drop it into a bucket of water, and it would evaporate immediately. It had a heat to it that would evaporate a whole bucket of water with one little granule. Man decided that he was going to, he worked in the chemical company, he was going to smuggle that granule out of the chemical company, and he got past the security guards and took a little vial of that chemical with him. Took it home, put it in his dresser drawer, hid it. He was having a New Year's party. Everybody was partying and doing their own thing, and he thought the party was getting a little dead and dry, and so he went to that drawer in his dresser and he pulled out that little vial of those granules of chemical. He filled the sink up in his kitchen, and he said to all of his drunken friends and everybody that was partying, "Gather around, let me show you something." He took that little vial and he took the lid off of it. His whole plan was to take one little granule of the chemical and toss it into the sink in his kitchen and watch it kind of explode and all the water to be evaporated. As he was walking with the chemical now, he's got the lid in one hand and a little vial of the chemical in another hand. He's walking toward his sink. All of his drunken buddies and friends are gathered around, and he trips on the carpet that's just in front of the sink. When he does, his hands, with that vial of chemical, his hands fall into the sink. The minute that happens, all the granules of that chemical fall into the water. There's an explosion. Of course, immediately all the water is evaporated, but the explosion impacted everything so much that all that chemical exploded into his face, all up and down his arms, all across his chest, all the way down to his waist. Of course, you know, the human body is made primarily of fluid, of water. The minute it happened, the man, it burnt off his shirt, it burnt off the hair on his body, and he fell to the ground and began to scream. He began to scream, "It's burning! It's burning!" Well, what was happening? That chemical, and it was embedded all over his body. Just all from his waist up, it was embedded all over him. And he's screaming, and he's crying, and he's saying, "I'm burning! I'm burning!" Well, immediately, they called the ambulance, and the ambulance came, and nobody really knew what was going on. They took him to the emergency room, and the ER technicians that were there, they went to work on him and thought, well, what we'll do here is we need to calm the man. We need to see if we can help him. They took a piece of gauze and they soaked it in sterile water. They wiped it across his forehead. In the very moment that chemical touched that water and gauze, the gauze broke into flames on his forehead. Every time they would try something to try to ease his pain, anything that had any fluid to it at all, it would burn. And the man kept crying. He said, "I'm burning, I'm burning. Kill me, put me out of my misery, I'm burning." And finally, they had a specialist come in, and the only way that they could put the man out of his misery is they little by little cut the skin off of his very body from the waist up. But just so you know, that would be a church picnic compared to what hell will be like. In hell, you'll be separated from God for all eternity. And that's worse than what you realize. You see, right now, as we sit here, the influence of God is all over the place. As you and I go to this country that we call America, as we walk up and down her streets, one nation under God, the influence of God and His Spirit is everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something. You talk about havoc. On the day when God pulls His Spirit away from anything, all hell breaks loose, to be very honest with you. The goodness of God has a major influence on this whole world. But the day that you are separated from God, you'll figure out what real terror is all about. But in hell, you'll be separated from God for all eternity. You see, in hell, you'll be separated from saved people. We're talking about good people. We're talking about your family and your friends. We're talking about the good folks of life. You see, if you don't get saved, you'll be locked in hell for all eternity. But you know, I got to thinking about it. Not only is hell this place where the worm dieth not, not only is it a place where the fire is not quenched, where there is eternal, terrible suffering, but the people that will be in hell with. I mean, if you ever took the time to study what the Bible says about this place called hell, there's a lot to say about it, but may I say, the people in hell, just the ones that will be there, the characters of hell, if you will, they're the worst, most vile, most nasty people and creation of history. I call today's sermon, The Crowd That's in Hell. The crowd that's in hell. So many times we think about the burning. So many times we think that the worm dieth not. We think about the darkness. We think about the eternity. But may I remind you, there are going to be some of the worst characters that you have ever met in this place called hell. Let me use some of God's description if I could. First of all, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8 says, this is God's list of the crowd that's in hell. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Anybody that's not trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior will suffer in hell for rejecting Him, and then all those sins will be upon them for eternity, and they'll pay in eternity for those sins. But who are these people? The Bible says in hell, you'll see hell's crowd, the fearful. It says the fearful will be there. The cowards of life will be there. Maybe the one that was at war and deserted his buddy at war. Maybe a buddy was taken POW and tortured because of a coward that did not stay to help and fight the war. That's the kind of person that'll be there. The kind of people that'll stab you in the back. The kind of people that won't care about you, but only care about themselves. That's what cowards are. Cowards are self-centered, protect me, and who cares about everybody else kind of people. The sissy, twerpy, soft of the world, and they'll be in hell. People who, hey, maybe it'll be people that wouldn't get saved because they were afraid to make a commitment to God, or afraid to be in a crowd, afraid to walk an aisle, afraid to trust Christ. We're talking about cowards that are teenagers and cowards that are men, cowards that are women, even cowards that are children. If they're at the age where they understand the difference between right and wrong when God begins to hold a child accountable for their sinful actions. They didn't get saved because they were afraid of what a friend would say. They didn't get saved because they were afraid of what a family member would say. They were afraid to admit they were not saved. You know, sometimes there are people that somehow get on the church membership, but they're not even born again. And they were afraid after they discovered a lack of salvation in their life. They say, well, I was already a member of the church and people already respected me as a born-again Christian, but I'm not saved. There will be people that will die and go to hell because they were afraid to admit they never had been saved. But the Bible mentions this group, the fearful. That's the crowd that's going to be in hell. It says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Now, God tells us the unbelieving will be in this place called hell. That's part of hell's crowd. Hell's crowd is made up of the fearful. Hell's crowd is made up of the unbelieving. The unbelieving? Yeah, people like the Madeline Murray O'Hares of this world. You know, when that gal influenced to have the Bible taken out of the public schools, boy, did she destroy America. What a Jezebel. The thought that someone would not want the Word of God to influence. And just so you all know, I think we need the Bible in every school on the face of the earth. Say, well, that's not politically correct. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm trying to be biblically correct. Do you realize in 1 year in the United States of America, 51,121 teenage suicides are committed? Can I tell you one reason why? The influence of the Word of God has been taken away from our young people. 1,500,000 teenagers will run away in a year. Why? The influence of the Bible being taken away from our teenagers. 416,000 teenage abortions in 1 year. Why? Because of the influence of the Bible being taken taken out of the school system. 1,031,000 teenage pregnancies in 1 year. I'm telling you, Madeline Murray O'Hare, I don't have any reason to believe that she got saved, and if she didn't, in hell she'll burn, and you'll be there with her. What an impact somebody made. People who won't believe the Bible is God's word. See, the Bible says the unbelieving will be in hell. Here's the scary part. If you're not saved, that's who you'll be in hell with. Those of you that are born again, you better thank God there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. But if you're not born again, you will be in hell with the fearful. You will be in hell with the unbelieving. Those that are the unbelieving that will not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Those are the unbelieving that will not believe in the reality of a place called hell. Those that are the unbelieving that will not trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Those that are the unbelieving will be in hell. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:8 of the crowd that will be in hell. It says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the Bible says, these are the God-haters, filthy, the vile, the wicked, the ungodly, the Christian-haters, the Jesus-haters, the church-haters. You know, it's sad in America, but they exist more and more so today. People that virtually hate the old-time religion. People that hate what's right. The abominable, that word there. An abomination is where something is hated intensely. If God said that a particular behavior is an abomination to Him, it means that He hates it with an intensity. And when somebody is an abomination toward God, it means they hate God, and they hate His church, and they hate His children, and they hate His book. And you're going to be in a hell filled with the abominable. Those who have rebelled against God. The holiness haters, those that hate preachers. You know, there are people that hate old-time religion preachers that they've never met in their life. Never met them in their life, but they have such a distaste and a rebellion within themselves that they just hate anything that represents God. You know, one of the most wicked thing that someone who knows Jesus or someone that knows about Jesus could do is to reject Him. If you're here today and you're not saved, but you know how to get saved, that's a very wicked thing. That's a wicked thing. Hebrews 10:29 says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God. Here the Spirit of grace. Here the Bible says you know about the blood that Jesus shed. You know that he wants to save you by grace, but you walk on that like it's a doormat and say, I'm not interested, and you walk by and God said, that's wicked. That is wicked that you would know how to be saved and consciously say, I'm not doing it. You will go straight to hell with that attitude. You say, I don't like that. Neither do I, and I'd like to get you to change. What a mistake. People who know of the grace of God, and yet they reject it. You will wish it was all a dream, but the nightmare will be for eternity. The abominable is the bottom of the scum bucket of the human race that has actually developed a hatred for God and the things of God. That their presence in hell will make and intensify the misery of those others in hell. You see, as I look at who's going to be in hell, I see that the fearful will be there. I see that the unbelieving will be there. I see that the abominable will be there. I see here that God tells us it's a wicked place. Then it says the murderer. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, they'll be in hell. Someone who wrongfully takes a life, Satan loves that, but God hates murder. God hates murder. We're talking about the Joseph Stalins and the Charles Mansons and the Al-Qaedas and the Osama bin Ladens and those that have reached out and unjustly and wrongly taken life. Adolf Hitler's slaughter of 6 million plus Jews. You know, he murdered over 300,000 of his own men. You talk about evil. You talk about nasty. He would take the Jews and they would take them into an area and tell them that they're about to go and have a chance to take care of personal hygiene, to take a shower. And then they would put them in a building, turn on the gas, and they would gas them to death. Husbands with wives and wives with husbands and children and people brutally murdered. They would bury them in mass graves, and often it is said there were times when some would be buried alive. They would kill the Jew and then take pocket knives and dig the gold fillings out of their teeth. We're talking about bloodthirsty human monsters, people who have no respect for life, gangsters and drug dealers who kill as a part of their business. Now, what are we talking about? The crowd that will be in hell. Because the Bible tells us that that crowd is the fearful. That the Bible tells us that crowd is the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers. But not only that, it goes on to tell us in Revelation 21, verse number 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers. Now we go to another group of people that will be in hell. The whoremongers. Those are the whores of life, if you will, the prostitutes, the pimps, the sex traffickers. We're talking about those that would shack up like a dog with anybody on the street and sleep around like an alley cat, that have no respect whatsoever for morality and decency. Those that practice adultery willingly and fornication knowingly, wearing their bikinis and sucking their martinis and thinking there's not a holy God watching everything that they do. I've got news for you, my friend. Our God's a holy God. And God will not let America continue to live the way America seems to think that she can live, and then try to say that, well, we're religious and all that stuff's not important. Hey, if it was important in God's day when he put this book in print for people, it's still important today. We're not supposed to live like that. Rapists and the Playboy crowd and the Hugh Hefners and the MTV crowd, the perverts, the immoral crowd, men who prey on other men's wives and women that show off their bodies and sell their bodies like door-to-door salesmen. I'm telling you, the Bible says in hell will be the whoremongers. You think they're all getting away with it? They're not getting away with it. God took time to say, those of you that whore around, act like a bunch of barnyard animals, the day will come, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll burn in hell alongside the Hitlers. You'll burn in hell alongside all of those that hate God and reject God. God is a moral God. God's tired of people living like a bunch of animals. And if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. That's all there is to it. The Bible goes on to say the sorcerers will be there. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers. This sorcery here has to do with the pharmaceuticals. It's talking about drugs. We're talking about drugs and enchantment with drugs, and as it would be biblically associated with witchcraft. Those who would practice human sacrifice. Those that would actually, and so you know, it does happen. There are those that actually take blood and drink blood as a part of a communion service to the devil. Just so you know, I'm against witchcraft of any sort. I'm against it. It's wrong. It's evil. It's not a game. We're talking about the witchcraft of our day. We're talking about the exaltation of the Harry Potter. He said, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. We don't choose what gets preached around here. God chooses what's preached. And pulpits across America need to stand up for what's right. Talking about drug dealers and the enchantment with drugs where they would kill for a $5 bill. Those kind of people, they're going to be in hell. Told the story of a 7-year-old boy, and he'd gotten hooked on drugs, and I'd ask someone, I was a little simple to it, I said, why in the world would anybody in their right mind want to give drugs to a 7-year-old boy? And this is what a man told me, said they will give free drugs to kids to get them hooked because there'll come a day when that kid can earn a living, and they want to make sure that kid is hooked on drugs and is taking drugs, so the minute they can earn a living, they can become a part of the drug economy. economy. That is as wicked as the devil. The thought that anybody would give a child a drug to hook them on the drug so they can make merchandise of them someday. That's the kind of people you'll be in hell with. You talk about low. Low to take a child and to get a child hooked on drugs. You talk about the witchcraft. New York City. Boy that wanted to be accepted into a group of witches was told to do so. He would have to actually kill one of his parents. The way that he was to prove that he did so, he was to cut off their ring finger and send it to the leader of the cult. And from all indications, he did. We live in a weird world, but I want you to know God's not weird. God's not for that kind of junk. God's not for that kind of trash. And that, and the scary part about it is, if you're not born again, when you die and go to hell, you'll go to the same hell as that guy. You'll go to the same hell as the one that sells drugs or gives drugs to a little boy 7 years old. You'll go to the same hell as the whoremongers and the lot lizards and the prostitutes. You'll go to the same hell as the murderers and the Hitlers. And you'll go to the very same hell for the God-haters and the unbelieving and the fearful. The Bible tells us that in that hell, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. The Bible tells us that the liars will be there. Those that have no use for God. Those that would tell us mistruth. Mentions the idolaters here, by the way. The greatest commandment God gave. He said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. That means no other gods. And just let me make it very clear. We're talking about loving Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. Not this liberal society's any God will do you. I'm sorry, that's not what God meant. I'm talking about the idols of Buddha and Muhammad and others. And I'm also talking about a communistic government or communism that sets a government up as a God. No, government's not to take the place of God. Those of you who trust anything other than Jesus Christ for heaven, you're doing the wrong thing. Heard of a cult in eastern China that would actually, when their children were small and pure, once a year they'd pick a child from the community and feed that child to an alligator because they worshiped the alligator. They knew that something pure and something that shed blood needed to be given to their God. Hey, you want to know something? You can thank God. They kind of got the right idea, but the only problem is the God that we serve is Jehovah God, and the one that was sacrificed was his son, and he was pure, and his blood was shed. Nobody else needs to shed their blood to get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you something. If you die and go to hell, you may wind up in hell sitting in a seat right smack dab beside somebody that took their baby boy and threw him to an alligator and watched an alligator crunch his bones, drink his blood, eat his flesh, because he believed somehow blood ought to be shed. But it was the wrong blood. That's how divisive, that's how evil the devil is. I wouldn't want to go to a place that was created for the devil and people like that. I wouldn't want to go. Hey, you better get saved if you're not saved. Hey, I'll tell you what, you say, whoa, what are the idols in America? Hey, the people that love sports so much that they'll never come to church and get saved, some of them are going to be in trouble with their idol. Too busy going to the games and watching TV to come to church and get born again. Do you know when you get to hell, you can't check out like you do at a hotel? There are no honeymoon suites at the hotel. Right. You don't get free continental breakfast. No air conditioning, no swimming pool. There's a hot tub, but not what you thought. The Bible says all liars will be in hell. Talk about anybody that's not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will then face eternity for their sin of lying. See, if you get saved, God forgives you of your sin. But if you don't get saved, you will give answer for every one of these sins that you have committed. Are you a liar? Have you ever? You better do something about it. And there's only one way you can do something about it. It's getting born again. We're talking about the hypocrites, the nasty, dishonest crowd. Nothing like two-faced people. Nothing like it. Nothing like people that you cannot trust because they say one thing to you, and when they get out of your presence, they say something else. How would you like to spend eternity with somebody like that? The pretenders. The liars. I remember the man named David Koresh, the one to give this nation the impression that he knew God and the mess that he caused down in Texas, and Jim Jones and the Guyana, South Africa mess where he tried to say he was a representative of God. If somebody's a representative of God, they're going to use this old black book, and they're going to believe that that old black book is the book of God, and they're going to do what's right and holy and righteous. Those that say they're saved, but they're not. You say, well, I don't believe there's a hell. Won't change it one bit, I promise you. The minute you close your eyes in death, you'll believe in hell. You will be changed. Liars that hurt God will be in hell. The liars that hurt Jesus will be in hell. The liars that hurt people will be in hell. The liars that hurt churches will be in hell. All the unsaved liars will be in hell. The idolaters and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the unbelieving and the abominable and the fearful will be in hell, because the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That does not mean that if America forgets God and turns her back on God, that all of us will go to hell. But every single individual in that nation that forgot about God and turned their back on God and said no to the Savior, they will die and go to hell. But not only do we see the description of hell in Revelation 21:8, it's found in Revelation 19:20. There are more of those that will be in hell. More of them are listed. It says in Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Here we see this creature called the beast. He will be in hell. The very same hell that Jesus rejectors go to. You say, well, my religion doesn't teach this. I don't care what your religion teaches. The Bible teaches this. The Bible teaches this. The Bible says this beast that we see in Revelation 19:20, he'll be in hell. The beast is the personal chief of the devil's empire, deceiving millions to take the mark of the beast, 666, and the time of the tribulation period. He's out to get people to take this mark on their forehead or on their hand. Hey, I don't know how long it'll be before the beast comes on the scene. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. He's going to take the Christians off of this earth. The beast is going to come on the scene, and we're going to see havoc in this world like they've never imagined before. But when you die and go to hell, you'll be in hell with the beast. The beast. You'll be in hell. The Bible mentions here the false prophet. He'll be in hell. The Antichrist possesses all the power of hell. Hell's emperor, if you will. You see, the beast, the false prophet, and Lucifer, that's the satanic trinity. They're the ones that are out to destroy. Hey, they don't have a special hell that's just for them. It's the same hell that the human race will go to. And that's where you'll be if you don't get saved. That these are Satan's business partners. They help Satan to carry out his assassination attempt on the God of the universe. There's a battle that will come called the Battle of Armageddon. And never before have armies of wicked people rallied together like this is going to happen. And there's coming a day when all the nations that hate God are going to rally together, and led by the Antichrist and the beast and Lucifer, they're all going to say, we are going to kill God. Can you imagine the human race becoming so prideful and so arrogant that they are convinced they can kill God? But they will rally together with the devil. He is a deceiver. He always has been. And they are going to be convinced we can take God on. The Bible says that they will be slaughtered, and the blood in the valley of Megiddo will flow to the horse's bridle. It'll be so full. There will be blood up to 6 foot high. Satan's business partners who try to kill God, they'll be right there in the same hell with you. Hell's leadership are these men. Hell's leadership are these creatures, hell's board members, if you will, Satan's team, Lucifer's helpers, the devil's co-conspirators, Satan's family, hell's planning committee, Lucifer's best friends. Anybody who dies and goes to hell will go with them. That's what Revelation 19:20 tells us. The beast will be in hell. The Antichrist will be in hell. The false prophet will be in hell. The idolaters will be in hell. The liars will be in hell. The sorcerers will be in hell. The whoremongers will be in hell. The murderers will be in hell. All the unbelieving and the abominable and the fearful will be in hell, because the Bible makes it very, very clear here. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. So not only do we see what and who will be in hell found in Revelation 21, verse number 8, and Psalm chapter 19, verse 20, I see another passage of Scripture that tells us about part of the crowd that will be in hell. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be in hell. You say, who in the world are the wicked? The wicked are the worst of these. The wicked, that's the worst of the fearful. That's the fearful of the fearful. The wicked, who are the wicked? The wicked are the worst of the unbelieving. The wicked are the worst of the murderers. The wicked are the worst of the whoremongers. I'm not just talking about somebody that's a little bad. The Bible's telling us, God is trying to make it very clear to us, hell will be full of very, 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 very wicked people. You say, but I'm a good guy. You will die and go to hell unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will go there with the very, 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 very wicked. I don't want to go to hell because of the fire, but I'm going to tell you something. I would not want to spend my eternity with the wicked. We look at the fire. We don't want that. I don't want to be separated from God. But this crowd of people, these aren't the kind of people I'd want to be around for the rest of my life. And the Bible teaches that hell is for the wicked and all nations that forget God. Who are the wicked? The worst of the whoremongers. Who are the wicked? The worst of the sorcerers. Who are the wicked? The worst of the idolaters. Who are the wicked? The worst of the liars. It's the worst. It's the sinner of sinners. It's the weirdest of the weird. It's the vile, the most vile of the vile. It's the sick of the sickos. It's the wildest of the wild. It's the most evil of the evil. It's the grotesque of the gross. It's society's worst rejects. They kill people with chainsaws and axes and do weird, uncommon, vile, nasty things. That's the same hell you'll go to. You say, I don't like that. Sorry. You say, what are you trying to do? If you're not saved, I'm trying to get you saved. The demons of the human race. One-third of heaven angels who walked out on God. Disloyalty. Their pride poisoned them. The pride poisoned angels that were kicked out of heaven will be in hell. All the God rejectors and the Jesus rejectors, that's who will be in hell. You see, the Bible tells us very clearly in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's what it says. The Bible's true. God then describes hell, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then God said, let me describe it to you again, if I could please. And he gives us Revelation 19:20, and he says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. God said, let me see if I can tell you some more that'll be in hell. He said, Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. But he's not done. There's more description. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, tells us of yet another that will be in hell. Who is that? Revelation 20, verse number 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here the Bible tells us the chief of it all will burn in that very hell. The devil, the ultimate God-hater, God's truest enemy. Do you know that hell was not created for the human race? It's created for the devil, and it's fallen angels. If you go there, you'll be an intruder. You say, if God loved me, he wouldn't send me to hell. If you love God, you wouldn't go to hell. Don't you try to put it back on God. That won't work. You can use your little, you know, you use your little intellect if you want to try to reason through that. But you'll wish you would listen to this old-time preacher. The very moment you wake up in hell, you'll say, I guess I was wrong about that one. Try to put it back on God. God made a way so you could be born again. But let me tell you something. The Bible says here, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. You see, you need to stop and realize something. The one that is responsible for murder, he will be in hell. The one that is responsible for incest, he'll be in hell. And abortion, he'll be in hell. And AIDS, he'll be in hell. The one responsible for a Hitler, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for disease, he'll be in hell. And Osama bin Laden's, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for all lying, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for all evil, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for all wickedness, he'll be in hell. And all idolatry, he'll be in hell. And all jealousy, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for all wicked pride, he'll be in hell. The one's responsible for all the prisons, he'll be in hell. And all the rape, he'll be in hell. And all the depression, he'll be in hell. And all the hatred, he'll be in hell. And all the robbery, he'll be in hell. And all starvation, he'll be in hell. And all blindness, he'll be in hell. And all deafness, he'll be in hell. And all divorce, he'll be in hell. And all fear, he'll be in hell. The one that's responsible for all hurt, he'll be in hell. All disloyalty, he'll be in hell. All war, he'll be in hell. All sin, he'll be in hell. All betrayal, he'll be in hell. All deception, he'll be in hell. All poverty, he'll be in hell. All heartache, he'll be in hell. But the problem is, so will you. I wouldn't want to go there. That's all there is to it. I'm saved. There was a day when I realized this. I realized that I was a sinner and I'd sinned against God. I realized that there was a penalty for my sin, and that would be death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. And then I realized that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, lived 33 and a half sinless years to pay my sin's penalty. He willingly died for me. They buried him. He resurrected himself to make heaven available to me. Then I would need to make a choice. Would I accept what he did to take me to heaven, or would I not do anything, or would I reject what he did and then go ahead and go to hell? You see, there's really only one thing you've got to do. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He'll take you to heaven. You say, well, what'll send me to hell? Well, just do nothing. Stay right where you're at. What sends you to hell is rejecting Christ as Savior. Then you'll go pay for your sin in hell. But it is receiving Christ that gets you to heaven. It is rejecting Christ that will send you to hell. I remember when I realized that. I was in my bedroom. I got on my knees by my bed and I said, I don't want to, I ain't go to hell. I prayed and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I realized I deserve the penalty of sin, but I'm so glad that Jesus, he paid that penalty for me, and I'll accept his free gift of salvation so I don't have to die and go to hell. I said, Lord, come into my heart, be my Savior. That night, he saved me. That night, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That night, I became a child of God. That night, I got born again. That night, my name was written down in heaven with an ink that never fades. And from that day forth, God said, Jeff Owens is one of my children. And I said, I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to burn. I'm not going to suffer. And I'm not going to be with the devil. And I'm not going to be with the wicked. And I'm not going to be with the beast. I'm not going to be with the false prophet. I'm not going to be with the antichrist or the unsaved liars and the unsaved idolaters and the unsaved sorcerers and the unsaved whoremongers and the unsaved murderers. I'm not going to be with the abominable and the unbelieving and the fearful. I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven. That's called old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. You say, you scare me. Good. You're supposed to be afraid of hell. Your fear of hell is another signification of the great love and grace of God. Because if the human race were not afraid of hell, many of them would go ahead and try it because we're so arrogant, stupid, and full of pride. God didn't have to tell us about hell. God could have said, accept me or reject me. Make your choice. I wonder how many people would have said, reject it. And then unknowingly walk into a hell that God did not, he was not honor-bound to tell us, but he chose to. Why? Well, he sure didn't tell us because it would be a delightful story to hear about. He told us because you should fear hell. It's a real place. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. The Bible says, number one, everyone's a sinner. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. That is death and hell separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches that if you will realize Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, He paid your sin debt for you. He made it so you wouldn't have to go to hell. If you'll realize that, you'll turn to Him and say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. I want Jesus to save me. You can get born again too. Earlier I read to you a scripture. I want to read it again, and I'm within inches of being done here. Hebrews 10:29 warns us that if we've heard about the blood of Christ, if we've heard about salvation, if we've heard of the grace of God, and we walk away from it, God says, your punishment will be sorer. It'll hurt more. Listen, Hebrews 10:29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? And it's count of the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sacrificed, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. When the gospel has been presented and hell has been presented as clearly as I have today, and you walk away anyway, God said, you just made your punishment sorer. You've trodden under your foot the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, the only true and living God. It's so sad that someone needs to clarify that in the United States of America today. But I'm talking about Jehovah God's Son, Jesus, the one that Christmas is all about. If you're not saved, I welcome you to the Savior. If you're saved, as I said at the beginning of the service, I hope you'll just be thankful. You got to thank God you're born again. You got to thank God you don't have to worry about that crowd right there. Here's how we do it here. We have what's called an altar call. Again, in most churches, something that has become a thing of the past. But the way that altar call works is in a moment, we're going to pray. After we pray, the choir is going to sing. We're all going to stand. And we're going to invite anybody that wants to be born again to come to this old-fashioned altar. Our soul winners are professionally trained. They can show you how to be born again. They can show you how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved, I hope you'll come. You just walk up. These men sitting on the platform and yet a few others, they'll come in a few minutes. They'll stand at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat, walk down the aisle. You walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. Somebody will take the Bible and in a few minutes show you how to be born again. You may have walked into this auditorium on your way to hell. You can walk out on your way to heaven. And folks, you're looking at a man that is not playing games. I mean what I've said from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. There is a hell. We're not playing church here. And I believe that somebody is in this auditorium today for this very sermon. I don't know who you are, but God does. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you're a church member, and you're not born again. Now, you only need to get saved one time, but you got to make sure you're saved. I'm not the one that makes that determination. That's between you and God. But if you're not saved,